Welcome to Hero Hype, episode 12. It has been a little bit of a delay from our usual recording schedule, but we have a treat for you guys to make up for that. My name's Marima.
And I'm Danya.
And we have not one, but two special guests this week, and they're both gentlemen, and you have the honor of being the very first guys we have had on the new and... I'm not going to say improved, because that might be offensive to one of our guests, but the new and rebooted Hero Hype. Very, very excited to welcome Kyle, who people know from all of his various podcasts, including Hype, that we do together.
Hello.
And we also have someone who might be familiar for the old stalwart Hero Hype listeners, the lovely Jimmy Bean.
Hello, everyone.
Look at that familiar voice. That's Jimmy was a person who started Hero Hype back in the day. So We're very, very excited to have him on today.
You guys remember the old theme? Ba, 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 ba.
We didn't do that anymore.
It was a whole thing.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. At my old school, we never didn't. Okay, never mind.
No, tell us, please.
I actually never went to an old school.
How embarrassing. Well, this is awkward. Let me tell you, gentle listener, what you can expect from this episode. As you may have noticed on our Hero Hype Twitter, which is at Hero Hype Podcast, we've been tweeting a lot about Daredevil. We were very, very, very excited about Marvel's very first Netflix show. So this episode comes to you in two parts. The first part is going to be a normal Hero Hype episode. So we'll get to the biggest news from the last couple weeks and also your feedback. And then the second half of the show is going to be all about Daredevil. So if you haven't watched it yet, you can listen to the first half and catch up on everything you need to know, and then you can switch off. And then you can go and watch Daredevil immediately, because that's what you should be doing. And then you can come back and listen to the second half of the show. And we're going to do that section mainly spoiler-free, and then we might do a little bit at the end for everyone who has watched the whole series, like Danya and I were crazy enough to do. So we've got it all covered. Everyone is covered. So there shouldn't be any issues. All right, let's start off with the news.
Internet, so helpful. Been reading that a lot, trying to catch up.
Of course, the biggest news story in terms of TV from the last couple of weeks is we are getting an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spin-off. There's one in the works at ABC. Of course, this is while Agent Carter still hasn't been confirmed for a season two. So there are a few complaints about that. But in general, I guess it's not surprising considering how well The Flash has been doing, and obviously Supergirl is coming our way very soon. Danya, is this a good or a bad thing for the world of Marvel and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
As long as the spin-off isn't about Ward.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of just wanted confirmation that we were going to get a season two of Agent Carter. I would have preferred that, but I'm not going to complain too much about having more in the S.H.I.E.L.D. universe to look at. Yeah, I don't know, though. Maybe more about May. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, we did talk about wanting a May spinoff a couple of episodes back, I think, which would be really, really cool. Or even more about Bobby. I'd like to see more about Bobby, mostly because, wait, do people know this? I'm a big Hawkeye fan.
Whoa, no.
I know. No, Bobby's really, really closely connected to Hawkeye in the comics, so being able to see more of her would be really interesting as well. So,
yeah, I think it's hard to know without knowing who it's going to be about. That's sort of the kicker, isn't it?
Well, that's what I was about to ask. Is it confirmed that it's a direct spinoff from, like, one of the characters from S.H.I.E.L.D. is getting their own show, or it's going to be, like, a sister show very similar to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Yeah, so what they're saying is there's going to be story elements that are still to come on this season of S.H.I.E.L.D. that will be used to lay the groundwork for the new series.
I really wonder if it's going to be called New S.H.I.E.L.D. Isn't that what they're calling... The like new S.H.I.E.L.D. that's on the show?
Yeah, sort of.
New S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, or the real S.H.I.E.L.D.
I wonder if that's just what they're going to just call it. Or just call it S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, like the terrible Walking Dead spin-off title? They're just going to copy that where it's basically the same Fear the Walking Dead.
Or maybe they're going to call it Sword. Maybe they're going to uproot that from the comics.
Yeah, well, they definitely could. I think a lot of people were sort of into that idea, for sure.
That seems to me to be a pretty obvious way to go. But I'm also not. I mean, they could throw us for a complete loop for all we know.
Yeah, I think what some people, another theory I saw was that they think it's going to go in the Inhumans direction because they seem to be trying to make Inhumans like their X-Men. And that's definitely, but the thing is, like, they're saying that they're story elements that we haven't seen yet. And the Inhumans obviously has been really the main feature of this season. So I don't know, maybe there's going to be a twist on that. But really, I just want more Agent Carter. And yeah, if that doesn't come back, I don't even care.
I'm surprised that hasn't gotten renewed yet.
Oh, it absolutely will. They're just sitting on it for a while. it's definitely coming back. It's like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was its first season. Almost no matter what happens, it's going to come back.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be any issue with it. It's just obviously we'd all like just the confirmation, then we'd all feel a little bit better about it. Some of our listeners told us what kind of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff they would like to see. Shelby says, an Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. spinoff, Hunter Vacations on a Beach, is sarcastic, beautiful, and out of danger. Hashtag the dream. I could definitely get behind that as a number one Hunter fan. And Danny said, I am legitimately concerned that the spinoff will be something along the lines of Grant Ward's Excellent Adventure. And yeah, Danny, I feel you.
No.
Yeah.
No, please, just no.
Seriously, can you imagine that? I can't imagine it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
That'd be my worst nightmare. Happen. I don't know if I'd watch it.
I would not watch it. There is no way. I threaten to quit Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. every week that I see Ward. Like, I'm not going to watch an entire show about him. There is no way.
Yeah. I don't know. Most of the time I just want to, like, smack him across the mouth and just be like, no, go away.
I don't know what this most of the time business is. All of the time. So anyway, we'll keep an eye on that as it comes. I'm sure there'll be more news about that, but it seems like they don't want to spoil what's to come on S.H.I.E.L.D., so that's why they're not telling us anything about it. Moving over to other TV news, the Arrowflash spinoff, which is still the weirdest spinoff ever to be created, has added Arthur Darvill from Doctor Who. So that's exciting. And
awesome.
Yeah, he'll be playing a time traveler. So, you know,
it's so accurate.
Irony. Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe he won't die every episode in this show. That would be crazy.
I hate to spoil the party, but I've always been more attached to Marvel properties than DC. I think that you wouldn't be surprised to hear that.
Whoa.
So I haven't seen any Arrow, any Flash. So what's this Arrow Flash crossover? Is it going to be a completely different show, or is it just going to be just one episode of Flash, one episode of Arrow, like Buffy and Angel? Or
let me tell you about it. So what they have done is taken the two probably worst villains that exist on the Flash.
Awesome.
Captain Cold is my favorite of all time, which is Wentworth.
His name is Captain Cold.
Yeah, it's Wentworth Miller in a ski jacket with ski goggles on. And he just makes cold puns all the time.
That's amazing.
I believe his buddy is called Heatwave, and he's just a pyromaniac. And
X-Men with these bad guys.
Seriously. So it's those two. Then what have we got? We've got an actress who played Sarah Lance on Arrow, who died on the show. She has been added, but she doesn't have any character attached to her, so people are wondering, like, is she even going to play the same character? Because they've only announced the actress. They haven't given her a character name, whereas everyone else does have one. Then we have Adam, who's DC's Iron Man, who's just flying around in his crazy suit. And how am I going? And, of course, we have half of Firestorm, not all of Firestorm, who is two people who occupy one body. It's just one of those people. So it's the weirdest thing you've ever heard in your life, and they just keep adding new people to it.
Yeah, so they've cast a Hawk Girl as well, so as well as Arthur Darvill's part.
Yes. So
yeah, more friends so for many Captain spin-offs. Cold.
How is this going to work? I have no idea, but I mean, I have to watch anything with Captain Cold in it. That's a given.
Yeah.
So, Jimmy, have I convinced you? Are you going to try it out? I sold that pretty well, I think.
Yeah, you really did.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly... You should really start, like, a web series about where you convince people to watch, like, the TV shows that you're into, because you've got a way of doing it, like, oh, yeah, the two worst villains, like,
yeah.
Basically just throwing puns at each other about cold and heat.
Like, seriously.
Every episode of animated X-Men that you've ever seen.
Seriously.
Oh, I know. If I could watch a movie that was just animated X-Men.
All right,
they should
guys.
Just make an animated X-Men movie.
They should.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to... All right, something. I'm writing it. I'm going to send it to Fox, and they're going to make it, and I'm going to make $1 million. You guys wait.
Yeah, perfect. All right, we'll just wait until the end of the episode, and then you can get started on that.
No, I'm writing it right now. I've been writing it for the past... That's why I've been so quiet.
Oh, I see. Multitasking, I like it. All right, so that's it for TV news, really. It's not a whole lot going on. There'll be more of that coming in the next few weeks as we approach season finales of all of these shows. Over in the world of movies, there's a little bit more to talk about. First of all, Michelle McLaren has left Wonder Woman due to creative differences. Is this project cursed? Many say yes, and I say... Grr, this is very frustrating.
Well, here's the thing. Do you think... Have you heard the rumors about what it supposedly is about?
Share. Tell us, Jimmy.
Supposedly, and this is a wildly unfound rumor, is that Warner Brothers wanted Wonder Woman to have a, like, lion pet, like a accomplice for her to talk to. And the lion wouldn't talk back. But she would just talk to this lion, because the idea was that Wonder Woman is an Amazon, and like they just started making shit up. And Michelle McLaren said absolutely not, and so they decided to split over creative differences. But I guess we'll see if that's true if we see a lion in the final film.
Yeah, or maybe they will have realized, hey, that was a really terrible idea. Maybe we should get rid of that.
Yeah, If that turns out to be true, that is the worst reason for getting rid of Michelle McLaren.
Yeah, but props to her for walking away from that. Just being like, nope, done with this.
Yeah, that's very true. I just,
Yeah,
and the next day, Marvel comes back with the dual female writing team for Captain Marvel. Just like, oh, look what we've got.
Yeah, it's that's like they planned deal. It. Yeah, so it looks like the screenwriters from Guardians of the Galaxy, and they also wrote Pixar's Inside Out, are going to be joining Captain Marvel, which, I mean, that's not even till like 2018, and Wonder Woman's 2017, and they still don't have their act together, so...
That's ridiculous.
Who knows?
Isn't this the first time that the two writers have written together, though? Like, one wrote Inside Out, and the other one wrote Guardians of the Galaxy? That's so fascinating. Yeah.
Such a weird combination.
I wonder how they're gonna organize that. Like, they just met and were like, "Yeah, we can work together." Sure. I'm sure we won't have any problems together.
I mean, have you seen some of the trailers for Inside Out?
Yeah.
Oh, they look amazing.
Yeah, some of the humor that LaFave has been writing is very, very similar to Perlman's. So. If you can kind of figure out, you can probably tell which parts of Guardians of the Galaxy were written by her versus James Gunn. So you can tell which humor was hers and which wasn't. So their kind of styles of writing humor and stuff kind of seem very, very similar. So yeah. I think they'll mesh quite well together.
Yeah,
personally.
I would love to watch Guardians with like James Gunn at my left and Perlman at my right, and just like have them just like mine, 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 mine. Okay, that one was mine though. All right, fine. Like,
yeah. It's, I mean, I guess they're both, like, into the co-writing teams because both of those films, they were co-writers on. So, yeah. That's a good sign, I think, if they're open to collaboration. And
absolutely.
They obviously think they're going to work well together. And I think I'm very excited to have two women attached to this because I think Guardians of the Galaxy, although it was very, very enjoyable at times, sort of the male voice dominated that film for me in many ways.
Yes. You can tell that James Gunn went in there and basically went, no, this isn't man enough. I'm going to add more men to this.
Yeah. Which isn't to say it wasn't an enjoyable film, but that's definitely something I was aware of when I was watching it. And from what I've seen of Inside Out, it looks like it's going to be a fairly interesting take on sort of gender dynamics. So it's fun for me to see these two team up, although it does seem at first glance like a fairly odd team, I suppose.
It would be really nice to see Nicole Perlman's vision actually fully realized, mostly realized, seeing as she'll be co-writing from the start, essentially. Whereas with Guardians of the Galaxy, I think it was she wrote a script.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote a couple of scripts and then James Gunn went in and rewrote parts of it.
Yeah.
Rather than a full collaboration from the start. So I think this will be a completely different beast. But it would be really nice to see some of Nicole Perlman's ideas fully realized in Captain Marvel, I think.
Well, it also makes me wonder if they're eventually, when they do get a director in there, if they're going to do the same thing that James Gunn did with Perlman's Guardians of the Galaxy script and Joss Whedon did with the original Avengers script and just say, like, hey, you're the director, you do what you want with it. And so if they, I guess that it depends on where the production moves from there.
Yeah.
Because I know even for like Winter Soldier, the Russos worked really closely with McFeely and, what was the other guy's name? They all worked really closely together to work out the draft that eventually was on the screen, even though the writing duo,
Marcus
McFeely.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the other one, what's the other one's name? Anyway,
I've
genius
lost my
number
mind.
Two, responsible yes. for Winter Soldier. They're probably going to break the story on it, but when the director gets appointed, I bet that they're going to take that vision and put it through the Marvel sort of paint-by-numbers kind of thing.
Yeah, that seems to be their MO, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. And, as long as they get a good director on board, I'm totally fine with that because it means that the screenplay totally lines up with their vision. But, it can mean that the story suffers somewhat, as I think Guardians was evidence of.
Mm. Christopher Marcus was the other writer.
Christopher Marcus. Oh, you see?
That's what I said. Marcus.
I know you said Marcus, and I was like, oh, yeah, Marcus McFeely. That was his first name.
No,
it's Christopher Marcus.
Stephen McFeely.
Marcus and McFeely.
Marcus and McFeely. That's
why I
remember
it. I was doing like the Starsky and Hutch. Yeah.
Yeah. But like, my hopes for Captain Marvel, though, as well, is that they'll get a female director on as well.
What if they get Michelle McLaren?
Yeah, that would be hilarious.
I actually am having kind of hopes possibly for Kathryn Bigelow.
Oh, yeah.
Because, Carol Danvers' background is as a pilot.
Yeah.
In the Air Force kind of thing. So it would be really, really interesting to see someone with, a war movie almost background coming
into
it.
Didn't you do
it.
An article about that?
No, I was thinking of doing an article.
Oh, that's
about
right. We discussed it. I remember.
That's a fantastic idea. I'd never thought about approaching Captain Marvel from that angle, but that's probably the smartest way to do it.
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and what I really like about what we're seeing more of with Marvel is that they're really like diversifying sort of the genre of the film versus making them all like superhero movies. I think that's a big strength for them. So yeah, if they made Captain Marvel their like war movie, quote unquote, that could be a new and interesting take on it. And Kathryn Bigelow is obviously fantastic. So we'll wait and see. I guess the next time DC makes a big announcement about Wonder Woman, Marvel will be like, here's our director, mic drop, because that seems to be the way that they announce things. All right. Let's run through some more Marvel news while we're on the topic. There was a new Ant-Man trailer released. Donya, are you excited about Ant-Man yet?
The moment in that trailer where Tom's the Tank Engine runs over them and then falls off the tracks, that was the point where I was just in absolute tears of laughter. And every time I think back to it, that's all I can think of. So now I'm just like, can I take this film seriously anymore?
Well, are you meant to take it seriously?
I don't know. Perhaps not. Probably not.
You can kind of see the traces of Edgar Wright in there. Like, you can kind of see his DNA. Yeah. I don't know how many of his films you guys have seen in the past, but he's got a very distinctive eye. And you can kind of see it, like, almost like it was storyboarded that way, but that it's that there are just elements of it that seem like they're missing. You know, like that, like it's just sort of... I don't know. I was actually lucky enough to see the trailer for the first time in 3D, like with the glasses and everything. And the thing that the thing that got to me the most was how cool the Ant Vision was, like how everything looks to him when he's small. Like, you know, you'll see it in the trailer for a second where Yellow Jacket is like firing crap at him and he's like jumping towards Yellow Jacket, and Yellow Jacket is kind of blurred out a little bit to show like the perspective and how it would look if he was actually small and how he would perceive giant things. And when you're looking at it with the 3D glasses, it's fucking cool. I don't know if are we allowed to swear on this?
I mean, we try and refrain, but like that's fine.
No, it was really it
bringing
made
some me old school hero hype back to the show.
Yeah, exactly. I wasn't I wasn't really excited for Ant-Man at all. I was going to see it because it's a Marvel film, you know, but I hadn't really thought about how I was going to see it or when, but I know that I'm going to see it in 3D now.
That's interesting. It's interesting that that's a selling point, because I hate 3D with like every fiber of my being.
I do too.
So I know you do. I know you feel it strongly.
For the most part, unless they can find a device that makes it worthwhile.
Yeah, makes it necessary.
God knows that it wasn't the Spider-Man like climbing through New York thing from Amazing Spider-Man.
Oh, but yeah, God.
For this, like the actual vision and how it affects how you actually see things helps.
How often do they use the Ant Vision? Do you think to make it worth it in the film? Like,
I bet every time that he's shrunk.
Yeah, I think they'll make the most of it if they've got the device to use, and as Jimmy says, if it looks that effective in 3D, like they're gonna make the most of it.
Yeah. My thoughts using 3D for movies is, if it's just for the sake of being a 3D movie, look, we're in 3D, it's ridiculous and unnecessary.
However, I totally agree.
If you're using it in an interesting way to kind of enhance or further the story that you've already got, if you're using it to add just another layer to the story you've already got, that's when 3D works. But if you're just putting it in for 3D's sake, then I'm always going to choose to see it in 2D.
Absolutely.
Always.
Yeah, and here's my issue. My issue with 3D is that I have to find my contact lenses, and I'm not okay with that, so...
Oh, just do what I do. I wear glasses on top of glasses.
I do that also. So cool. I always do that. It's great. Jimmy, that's weird. I think you said that you saw it in person in 3D. What could you have been at where you would have seen it in person in 3D?
That was the Avengers Age of Ultron press conference, where immediately afterward they surprised us with, like... All right, now stay in your seats. We're going to pass around some glasses and we're going to watch Ant-Man. And we were just like, oh, crap, this is awesome.
Oh, sorry, that was the press conference after you saw Avengers Age of Ultron?
Yeah.
Is that press conference?
I've definitely... Okay, guys, I've seen... This is the hippopotamus in the room. I've seen Avengers
Age of Ultron. It's the Hulkbuster in the room.
Yeah, exactly. It's the giant 8-foot green monster fighting the 8-foot green robot in the room.
Yeah, I know the embargo doesn't lift until next week. I know I'm seeing it this weekend, but give us your unembargoed, allowable, that was none of those words were words, impression of the film.
Well, I mean, holy crap. Okay. It is just the largest, most ambitious film that Marvel has even tried up to this point. Because, I mean, I think we could all agree that Iron Man 3 and Thor 2 were both kind of on the fence in terms of the overall quality. I mean, I've seen Iron Man 3 probably about 4 times. I've given it 3 second chances.
Why?
And it just... Because I think maybe it's good, because I like Shane Black, and I like so many of the different elements about it. And then I always get to the part where Guy Pearce breathes fire, and I'm like, oh, I'm watching this again. They got me. Thor 2 I've only sat through twice. Guardians I think is great. Winter Soldier is probably my favorite movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, even after watching Avengers 2.
Correct answer.
But then it probably goes Avengers 2 and then Avengers. Oh. I think that Avengers 2 barely beats out the first Avengers just in the sheer awesomeness of its villain.
All right. Well, there's the tease for you. So now is a good time to let you know that we're going to be doing something very fun for the Avengers Age of Ultron on Hero Hype, but it's a secret. We're not going to tell you what it is. So you'll have to tune in and find out. But yeah, we've got something fun planned, and it might even involve some other people who are not on this show and some people who are on this show, and who knows?
It's such a big secret, I don't even know.
It's such a big secret. I messaged you yesterday. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm going to be very mad. I gave the secret away. But yeah, we're gonna do something fun for that. So make sure you keep up with us on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or on hyperbole.com, where you'll find out all about it. I'm seeing it this Sunday, and I'm very excited. Donya is seeing it, I think, at midnight as soon as it comes out next week. Is that correct?
Yes, so between the 22nd and 23rd. Yeah. So midnight.
Yeah, when you said it was the next day, I was like, but that's like a day after, it's a whole day after it's come out. What's the point of going at midnight? But you just made a mistake.
I did make a mistake. I made a date mistake.
Can I actually suggest that we do something real quick? Because this is the last time that we're going to be able to do it.
Sure.
Okay. Can you guys say what you think Age of Ultron is going to be like? Because I'm going to really enjoy this.
It's going to be all about Hawkeye and his farm, clearly.
You're not wrong.
I've heard that it is all about... That's what everyone... That's funny, actually, that you mentioned that, because everyone who has seen it, all of the early reviews are, like, crazy for Hawkeye. Apparently, this is Hawkeye's movie.
And I mean, they did release months ago that is his farm that we saw in the clip.
Hero Hype listeners have heard a lot of talk about Hawkeye's farm.
So that
farm.
Is not.
Are you confirming it?
Oh yeah, that
it?
Farm. That's. Never mind. It's a great place.
Okay. All right,
but
you tease.
Yeah. So I'm expecting that it's going to be all about Hawkeye, and I'm going to be very happy, basically.
Excellent. Honestly, I'm going in with no expectations, because that is the best way for me to enjoy these kinds of movies, I have discovered. So I try not to think about it, which is weird for someone who hosts a superhero podcast, but I try not to speculate too much on things that I don't know. So, yeah.
Smart, really.
Yeah, so I'm going to go in, and it's going to be great. Everyone has said that it's better than... that it's better than the Avengers. That's a good sign, because the Avengers I enjoyed, but I don't know if I would put it second in my list of Marvel movies. I would definitely put Winter Soldier number one. That's not a question. So, yeah, all early reviews point to good things, and I will be able to report back next time you guys hear from me. And Kyle, what about you? You've been very quiet over there.
I'm expecting it to be just as good, if not better, than the Avengers. And hysterical. I'm expecting some good puns. That's what I want. I want some good jokes, some good moments.
Well, I don't know. Captain Cold's not in that one, so you're missing out. All right, and Jimmy, you went to the press conference afterwards, and we've got a really great article up on Hyperbole that people can go and check out to see all of the different things they talked about. What was the most fun or the most interesting thing that you found out at the press conference? Give us a teaser.
Because I've always been jealous of you for talking to Joss Whedon at Comic Con.
Yes, I did
that's always been my number one thing. And so I got to talk to him as well. I got to ask him a question. And so now I can stop interviewing celebrities. I've reached the top.
You've reached peak celebrity interview.
Exactly. It's all downhill from here. But no, I asked him, everyone knows the famous story about when he was trying to figure out if he wanted to do Avengers 2. And so he went to that pub in London to write down just ideas, and ended up filling up the entire notebook. And I asked him what was in the notebook and what brought him back to do Avengers 2. And he basically just said the little moments between the main Avengers, not necessarily, oh, how are the cool ways in which I can get them fighting robots? He said, no, I want to see what this person would say to this person in this event, and like the small personal moments between them. I thought that was really sweet, a really cool way to identify with your characters outside of the fact that they have to slaughter a bunch of robots.
Great question. We will we'll link to that in the show notes. So once you finish listening to this and watching all 13 episodes of Daredevil, you can go and read Jimmy's really good article about that, and you'll find out lots of fun things because he did a great job.
Thank you.
All right. What else have we got going on here? That's sort of it for Marvel news. Hugh Jackman apparently is only going to do one more Wolverine movie. This is it. Then he's done.
I want to use my F-bomb because all I want to say is Halle fucking Luya.
You seriously? Yes, listeners of Hero Hype are aware that Donya and I are not a big fan of X-Men being the Wolverine show, so this is, as far as I'm concerned, the best news that I have ever heard.
Oh, you don't think they're going to recast Wolverine?
Even if they do, it would be better than Hugh Jackman. Like, I'm such a bad Australian.
Idris Elba, guys.
I just heard those words come out of my mouth, and like, I'm having an identity crisis. What'd you say? Idris Elba?
Idris Elba, definitely. If we can get Idris Elba doing Wolverine and James Bond and Heimdall at the same time.
Yeah, it would be, I think parallel universes would open up.
I think that he hates doing that kind of crap, though. I think he really likes the serious work.
Yeah, basically, this is a joke.
That'd be the Holy Trinity that opens up that rift, and then we'll get Pacific Rim.
Oh. Very good. But if he's playing Wolverine and Hugh Jackman did, they're probably drift compatible. So, you know, we'd be fine.
Yeah.
Hugh Jackman's buff, man, whether you like him or not.
Oh, man. Idris Elba is in Pacific Rim as well.
Yes.
I didn't even think about that when you made the reference.
It never ends.
Ba-dum-bum.
Yeah. All right. So we're very happy to see the end of Wolverine. Good riddance. More exciting news is Deadpool continues to be basically the greatest movie that we still haven't seen. Everything I see about this makes me so, so excited. We've, of course, had the first image, and now we have confirmation that it's going to be rated R in this hilarious interview that Ryan Reynolds did. Everyone on this show better be damn excited for Deadpool. Oh. Kyle, are you excited?
Oh, yeah. I'm super
Jimmy,
stoked. I don't know anything about it, and I'm excited.
I mean, you asked me if I'm damn excited, and since we've already dropped it twice on here, I think it's appropriate since it's Deadpool to say. Okay.
Please,
all right, I'll censor myself in a very non-Deadpool fashion.
Yeah. I would just
But yes, I am quite excited.
Think of the children. Yeah, this is going to be amazing. I am just so, so thrilled about this. Everything that we find out about it seems like it's going to be amazing. And considering what they did to the character last time, they have a lot to make up for. And I feel like Ryan Reynolds really, really gets it. And it seems like the creative team do as well.
Yeah, that's what's making me excited. Because obviously for Hero Hype rewatches, I rewatched Wolverine Origins to put myself through that torture again of seeing Deadpool's first appearance on screen. And this is a million miles away from what that was, even from just the promotional material. And you can tell that Ryan Reynolds cares like so much. And he basically is like Deadpool's biggest fan. So that's what's making me even more excited for this. But the promo material has just been perfect.
Yeah, everything's so on point. It's going to be so good. I'm so excited. All right. So that's it for all the big movie news. Of course, we're having a lot more like Age of Ultron interviews and scenes and clips and et cetera. All of that stuff is coming out now. We had confirmation that Karen Gillan is going to be back in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So that's exciting for fans of hers. We had a new Fantastic Four trailer, but it didn't have a lot of new footage in it. It was just the international trailer, but you can check that out on Hyperball. And we had some images from that as well. We've had some X-Men news, some casting news for X-Men Apocalypse, and also there's going to be a rogue cut of X-Men Days of Future Past that adds an additional 11 minutes to the movie. So if you're missing Rogue, that's your chance to get back on that. And then I think it was just announced that the Batman trailer is coming out. Batman Superman.
Yep. So, front of, Monday. Well, it's something like that.
Yeah, we're going to have a teaser, and then we're going to have the full trailer. It's going to be in front of
Mad Max.
Yeah. So, exciting times all around. We're going to be talking all about Daredevil very shortly, but before we do, we want to get to some of your feedback from our last episode. Our question of the week was, in honor of The Flash, if you could go back in time and change one major plot point or aspect of your favorite superhero TV show, what would it be? So some of you left us comments. You can do that, reply to us in the comments on this post on hypeball.com, or you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast your answer to our question for this week. But this is what you said. Toonie Chopper said, if I could change one major aspect of a superhero show, it'd be Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.'s premiere date. Kicking it off in September was such a mistake. All the filler really harmed the show, both in terms of quality and ratings. So that's an interesting take. Evelyn said, I apologize to Brett Dalton, who plays Ward, in advance because he is super nice. But to answer the question of the week, I'd go back in time and make sure Agent 33 did not save Ward. Or maybe just make sure Skye's aim was a little better. I would also save Trip. I really miss him on the show. And Amalia said, if I can't pick Sarah's death and all the Malcolm Mellon crap connected with it, I'll have to say I wish Elicity had never become a thing. That whole plotline feels weird to me, and I think it's been to this season's detriment. I can understand why people ship it, but I think the show had a much better dynamic when they had a sort of Harry-Hermione sibling-like relationship. Oh, you're going to get in trouble from some people who did not believe that was sibling-like. And she says, I will forever ship Oliver with Sarah, who is slash was the Ginny of this series, in my opinion. So what do you think, Donya? Were they Harry and Hermione?
I don't think they were Harry and Hermione. I didn't get that vibe from them. I think there always was an underlying attraction to a lot of their interactions. However, I don't disagree that the way that they've used Elicity this season hasn't been great, just because it's been this kind of flip-floppy sort of will-they-won't-they kind of thing. And it's like, and then bringing in the kind of love triangle with Ray, and just, I don't know, I've not really been 100% digging that. So I don't entirely disagree with the focus and the push for it this season. However, I do like them together. So I'm hoping that they'll, well, I say they'll, I'm hoping Oliver will get over himself, basically. So...
Kyle, yeah. Are you still watching Arrow and the Flash?
Oh, yeah. I'm in the middle of recapping the Flash right now. I just stopped to record this.
Oh.
And Felicity is my favorite character. And I think the whole Elicity thing is so... It's so annoying at this point because Oliver is being a douche. And he's just... He thinks that he can control everyone and everything. And he's like... this badass guy who's in charge of everyone, and it's just really annoying. And the way that they have Elicity entwined into all of that is just also annoying. And I want them together, but not with the way things are currently happening, if that makes sense.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. I would completely agree with that. I think someone told us on Twitter this week that Felicity could just do so much better than Oliver, and that is so true. Although, I think they said, I think it was Cassie, good friend Cassie Drake, who said that, that Felicity could do better than Oliver, but Ray was a step up, which I would disagree with because I hate Ray. But
really?
You know. Yes, really. Very frustrating.
I think he's gorgeous, so I automatically love him.
Well, who doesn't like Superman? Okay, and now we also had some tweets for you, Danya. I think these are for you, so did you want to take those?
Yeah, so Shelby says, will we hear Danya's take on the early reviews saying Hawkeye is a highlight in Age of Ultron, or will it just be happy crying?
A bit of both.
Me crying about Hawkeye? I mean, come on. When does that ever happen?
We got a bit of that, I think.
I know, yeah. We totally did. And Kate says, I was just wondering if you would like to see Hawkeye and Mockingbird together as they are in the comic books.
Well, that's for you.
Yeah, I know. Maybe. And it's kind of mostly because of the direction Bobby is going in on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So I'm not entirely sure that we're going to get that crossover as much as I would love to see Jeremy Renner like in the TV show. But I don't think we're going to get it. And yeah. I don't know that they'll transition Mockingbird across into the movies. So I'm not entirely sure that they're going to go in that direction. At the moment, it's not entirely clear which Hawkeye they're pulling from either, because we haven't had a lot of his background. So we don't know if it's from comic book main continuity, which is called 616. And we don't know if it's from Ultimates. I'm really hoping it's not Ultimates Hawkeye, because I hate the Ultimate series with a passion, but more 616, because his backstory in 616 is my favorite. So I don't know, up in the air. I think it would be interesting, because I think they'd have a really good dynamic, the actors. So it would be interesting, but I don't think it's going to happen, if I'm going to be realistic about it.
I'd like to see Bobby in the movies, but Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. can't afford Renner, so that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
All right, and our question of the week, you can let us know your answer in the comments here or on Twitter, which is not at all related to our secret Age of Ultron, that thing that we were talking about earlier, is in unrelated news, we're going to be starting these Hero Hype special edition episodes, which are themed around a movie that's coming out or a TV show. You're going to get a little taste of what one of those will be like after this when we talk about Daredevil. And if there is a film or TV show, and it could be a film that's already come out, that you'd like to hear a Hero Hype special edition all dedicated to that, talking about it with other people who love it or maybe didn't love it so much, what would it be? What would you like to hear one about? And you can let us know on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast or in the comments on here, and we will get to that feedback next time. Now, this is the time to tune out if you have not been watching Daredevil, and pause the show and go and spend 13 hours of your life watching television, which is exactly what I did on the weekend, and then come back and unpause and listen to it. And if you have watched Daredevil, then don't be scared. This section is going to be all spoiler-free. So it'll just be like our impressions and what we're thinking of the show without any major spoilers. So you can listen to it no matter what episode you're up to. That's handy. Let's go around and see where everyone's up to. I have finished. Danya, you have finished.
Yes, I've finished.
Yeah. Kyle, where are you up to?
I finished with episode 9, but I have to rewatch it for reasons.
And what reasons would that be?
I may or may not have fallen asleep in the middle of episode 9.
The shame.
I know.
Yeah.
You just need to listen to it louder.
Yeah. It's a solution to everything. And Jimmy, what about you?
I'm halfway through episode 3.
Yeah. Jimmy's been busy at the Avengers talking to his new BFF, Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
It's hard to fit everything in.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's start with you, Jimmy. You've only just started, so you haven't had a huge amount of time to form an impression. But how are you feeling about the show from what you've seen so far?
Incredible, absolutely incredible. The last majorly awesome thing that I saw was the end of episode 2. That fight sequence, man. That hallway fight sequence.
Oh man!
Everyone is talking about.
So great.
Blew my mind. I've never, I mean, it's so brilliant the way that they so obviously illustrate him as a man that gets tired when he fights. You don't normally see that in this Marvel universe. You just see Captain America just taking guy after guy after guy and not showing any sign of fatigue. But this is like a boxing match, which, I mean, is kind of the point.
Good analogy. Absolutely. Kyle, how you feeling?
I love it. That scene really opened my eyes into what kind of show this was, and it really helped me in, with my like review, kind of like my mini review of this of the show. I love how different it is. I love the fact that it's gritty and it's kind of like the Marvel version of like DC shows that we're getting, like Arrow and or not Arrow, sorry, Gotham. You know, like it's something that's not superhero power based. Does that make any sense? Like,
yeah.
So that's what I love about it, and I just want to keep watching it.
Yeah, there are no capes in Daredevil.
Yes, exactly.
I totally agree. I feel like this is what they wished Gotham was going to be, what they wanted Gotham to be, which Gotham is terrible and Daredevil is amazing, so they are worlds apart. I think for me, I really enjoy what the Netflix medium opens up to them, because Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has always been to me sort of the glue of the TV world and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and just the way to connect them with each other. But it gets a little too caught up in, you know, referencing the Avengers and, you know, being like, but get it, you know, we're part of that world too, et cetera, et cetera. Agent Carter, I think, did better on that front because it had more of a story within it. And Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. has improved on that. But Daredevil did such a good job, even from the first episode when they're going to rent their apartment and they talk about the incident in New York, and they just use, which is, you know, the events of the Avengers, the Battle of New York. And they use that as the framing for the series without like relying on it as a crutch, which I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. does do from time to time. So yeah. Danya, you finished it. You spread out a little more than me. I kind of raced through it, so it's a little hard for me to tell the episodes apart.
Yeah.
You still love it though? I know halfway through you were really into it.
Yes. I mean, I do have my issues with it, but they would be spoiler full issues, so I can't really go into it too much, but on the whole, really enjoyed it. Like, I think it was a very, very, very good adaptation of the Daredevil comics. I also really like that they took the female characters from the comics and improved on them and gave them more purpose and a more forward-facing role rather than letting them take the back seat a little more. So that was one worry that I had going into it, but came out, you know, quite impressed in the end with how they treated some of the female characters. But yeah, it's a lot. I knew it was going to be violent because you can't get around that with Daredevil. But I don't think I was expecting it to be as violent as it was. Like, I had a lot of cringing, hiding behind my pillow moments, because some scenes were like, they really, really pushed it.
That car door scene, but, man.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, that's the end of three, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is it? Or is
I think
that...
so.
Yeah, and there's also a scene where a guy literally impales his own head on a spike.
Oh,
You know, it's
yeah.
It, you know, it doesn't pull any punches, but I feel like it gets away with it because of scenes like at the end of episode two, where it's the impression of violence, and like you get the hint of it, but they find clever ways to do it without every episode being like a sort of almost a gratuitous, you know, violent, like indulgent just for the sake of being violent.
That's what I was going to say, is that it's not gratuitous violence. It serves a purpose, and it serves a purpose for the story. It's not there for violence's sake, which is why, even though sometimes I have to turn my head and not look at it, I don't begrudge them for doing it because I feel like it was necessary.
And it's well balanced.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about the cast? Because I was not, this was really my my hesitation, and people who have listened to Hero Hype may be surprised that I was so into Daredevil, because I made no secret of the fact that I was not expecting to really enjoy it, because I'm not a big fan of the Daredevil comics, and I'm not a big fan of the character necessarily, and I was not a big fan of Charlie Cox. So it was really the trifecta of things to make Marama disinterested in something. And yet I watched one episode and was like, this is the greatest show I've ever seen. I need to watch it all immediately. He just absolutely killed it, I think. He was so, so great. I feel like they got such a great ensemble. Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin is crazy good. And without spoiling anything, at the start of it, I was thinking like, oh, he's very kind of cartoon villainy in a way. And, you know, by the end of it, he is terrifying. Absolutely. He just gets creepier and creepier and more intense. And he plays that really, really well, which I guess doesn't surprise anyone, because Vincent D'Onofrio is a little creepy, I think.
He was phenomenal. And this is the thing as well, is that he had that very kind of husky kind of speaking under his voice kind of thing, where you get that kind of gritty, almost speaking voice you do sometimes in like superhero adaptions. I'm looking at you, Arrow. However, I think the way that it worked for him was that it just highlighted how socially awkward he was, and that it kind of juxtaposed that against his like criminal activity and him being like the head of like all of this, all of the crime in Hell's Kitchen. But then you get to see him in his moments with like Wesley and Vanessa, where he's slightly more withdrawn and kind of, yeah, socially awkward is probably the best way to put it. But yeah, I think it really, really worked. It was if that was like a conscious choice by the actor to kind of approach it like that, I think it was very well done.
Yeah, and we get kind of a little origin story for him towards the end of the season. I really liked that, how rather than, obviously it's all about Matt, but it was nice to kind of get these little like origin episodes, I guess, themed around the different characters. We had one for Foggy as well, and
I love Foggy.
Everyone loves Foggy. That's like the easy answer. Oh, Foggy's so great. I love Foggy. He's so funny. No, he was genuinely really good. Sorry, I shouldn't be making fun of you.
It's so interesting. Like I feel terrible saying anything, because like criticizing anyone, I can't get around. But everyone that I've talked to has said that they don't like Foggy.
What?
And I don't really get it. I love him. I think I should have been cast as Foggy. But
you are Foggy. That is so accurate.
Yeah.
I wish that I could just go back 2 years and figure out how to make that work.
Yeah, weird. I don't know. Why don't people like him? I mean, I guess I can kind of understand, like, maybe he seems annoying at times, but like, no, he's so great. He's so great.
And I love how, like, badass he is, kind of, in a way that you don't really expect. Like, you watch the first couple of episodes, and, like, he, for some reason, when I first started it, he seemed kind of like the goofy friend, or, like, the jokester and the comic relief to Matthew Murdock. And then there's this one scene where he not physically, but, like, he talks to this other lawyer and he just like puts her down in her place. And it was amazing.
I just realized that he was in the Hunger Games.
What?
You, he looked familiar. Yes, he was in Mockingjay and he played Pollux, one of the twins.
Oh,
with the camera.
Oh
my God, camera people, yes. Right? Wow. Now you see it. Oh, man. The entire time I was watching it, I was like, I need to look it up, but I can't look it up because I can't look away from my screen for like even 30 seconds. I'm not exaggerating when I say I watched it for 13 hours without a break. Like, I went a little crazy. Yeah. But what about Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock then? Like, do we feel like he pulled it off?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think so.
Sorry, I had to go back and unmute my mic. Yes, yes, absolutely. And from the very beginning, and from the first moment that you see him, just every single damn word he says, man, it's spellbinding.
Yeah.
There's no other way to describe it. You can't look away. I mean, I told you that I watch the show when I'm exercising, and it literally is the only thing that can keep my fat ass running. Is just like, all right, keep going, and you can watch more Daredevil. Awesome.
Amazing. Yeah, I feel bad because usually when we talk about things on Hero Hype, we're like, I liked it, but, you know, and I really don't have any. I mean, you know, we'll get to some other things, like, I guess at the end when we do a little spoiler section, but I really don't have any major issues with it. I was just so, so impressed. And maybe because my expectations were not that high for reasons I explained earlier, but also because, you know, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is like a fine show, but it's not my favorite show. Agent Carter, I loved Agent Carter. I thought that was fantastic. But in general, I've sort of enjoyed the DC shows really more than the Marvel TV shows. And I'm just so, so excited for what this Netflix deal means for Marvel now, because they just absolutely killed it with this. And I'm so excited for the next shows that are coming. It's going to be so great. And I'm assuming there's going to be, you know, a bit of a crossover between them, which will be fun. Is everyone else going to be watching all of those shows now? I'm assuming absolutely yes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You have to finish Daredevil first, though.
Oh yeah, duh. It makes me wonder if the new Netflix shows that are going to come out after this are going to be referencing and connecting themselves to Daredevil in the way that, like, all the Marvel films connect each other and S.H.I.E.L.D. connects itself to the films. Like, or I wonder if every Netflix show is going to be kind of separate in its own terms, kind of the way Daredevil was completely separate, you know?
Well, there is already a crossover, potential crossover character.
Yes. Yes, there is. I was going to say that.
Why don't you tell us about it? Tell us about it, Donya.
So, about her. Madame Gao, if you look really, really closely at the insignia marking the heroine that she's pushing through Hell's Kitchen, it's the same image that's on the chest of the Iron Fist villain, Steel Serpent. So there's a crossover there. So I think potentially we're gonna see her again in Iron Fist, probably. So.
And I love her as a character. Oh my goodness, she's amazing.
Me too.
Oh my god.
And we also have Claire, who's the nurse, who has a crossover with Luke Cage. So she's sort of a combination character. So it'll be interesting to see, like, what happens with her. But yeah, I think there's going to be, it would be silly for them to make these like self-contained to the point where there's no crossover between them. But I also think like they went to some extreme in Daredevil to make it a separate experience and really separate from the broader MCU, in that like anyone could watch this. You don't need to have watched the Avengers. You don't even need to really like superheroes, and you can still enjoy this. That said, you know, some of the other Netflix shows that we're getting are a little more superhero-y, I will say, without spoilers. So, you know, maybe they're going to build up to it. Who knows? And then, of course, we're going to get our miniseries at the end. So it's all exciting. It's such an exciting time, guys. It's an exciting time in the world of superhero TV. But seriously. Yep. It was so
really,
good.
Really. It's like, no joke.
It's legitimately exciting. Yeah.
I'm so excited for AKA Jessica Jones, especially after seeing Daredevil. Like, if that's anything close to the level of quality, not even like the tone that we're going to see, but just the level of overall quality and production value, I am in, boy.
Absolutely. That's all happening. I mean, we're going to get that later this year. So we'll be keeping an eye on that. I think, yeah, that's also the thing. It's just like the level of quality in all aspects of Daredevil was so impressive. Sometimes, you know, we have commented before that the effects in many superhero TV shows leave something to be desired at times. And just the fact that they're focusing it to 13 episodes means that they can be 13 just insane quality episodes, which is Netflix's hallmark at this point. And I really like that they've carried over all of that while keeping the Marvel flavor, which is always a good time.
The other really, really cool little Easter egg thing that connects it back to S.H.I.E.L.D. that I don't know if anyone picked up on it. I can't remember, like, I don't know if this is going to be a spoiler. It's not really. When Jack Murdock, Matt's father, like, dies after his death, Matt ends up at the St. Agnes's orphanage. That's the same orphanage where Skye was dropped off in S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, now, I have a question about that. They mentioned St. Agnes earlier on, but I don't think when they were talking about the orphanage that he went to that it was stated outright that that's what it was. Because I had the same thought. I mean, he definitely seems like there is a connection with St. Agnes, obviously. But I was not sure if it was the same orphanage as Skye. If it was, that would be great. There's definitely a connection there either way.
Yeah. I thought my mind went straight there. Because I was like, they're going, oh, that's where, oh. So, yeah, I think it's Marvel. Marvel are really particular about this stuff. So
yeah, that's why I thought, because they didn't say it, that maybe it wasn't, you know, because I was like, it's Marvel, like they would have, if it was, then they would have made it clear, because they could have done it with, you know, two extra words in that sentence. But anyway, that would be great if it is.
Yeah.
And we'll keep an eye on all of that. We had an article on Hyperbole, which I wrote at about hour 12 of my Daredevil watch, which are all the Daredevil Easter eggs that you may have missed in the show. So you can check that out. And I also found Stan Lee's Daredevil cameo. At least I'm pretty sure I did, because at that point I'd been watching TV for like 12 and a half hours. So my eyes were definitely square. But yes, we found his cameo, which was very, very small, very subdued for a standard Stan Lee. He's usually a little more ridiculous. Like, superheroes in New York. Oh, crazy. If only we had one on that level. So did you guys is there anything else you wanted to share? Oh, actually, one more thing I want to talk about quickly. The visual style of Daredevil I thought was really clever. It gave a really good insight. Obviously, he's blind, but I feel like they used a lot of really interesting visual techniques to show us, like, not, you know, we don't talk about 2003 Daredevil, but not in that terrible way that showed us what he could see, which was apparently everything. But, you know, there's a lot of talk of, like, art, and obviously there are a lot of religious sort of connotations to his actions, and there's a lot of use of, like, religious imagery and things. But also things like the fight scene we talked about earlier, where they kind of hint at things versus, like, actually showing you them. I just found that really, really well done. And I was wondering if anyone else had noticed that, or if I'm crazy.
No, I definitely noticed it. I love the way that they
choreographed.
Yes. Choreographed. Thank you. I'm not going to say that word. I like the way that they did that, because just the way that all of the fight scenes are made, I don't know how to explain it. It's like you can see how he can be fighting, because like, you're like wondering, like, what, how is it possible that he's fighting all these guys? But every shot that they do, and every like switch, you can see how he's able to kind of project himself and see where these guys are. And there's this one scene that sticks out in my head, is when, like, this one guy, he's fighting someone in the rain, and, like, he swipes his blade, and he can hear the blade running through the water and the air, and he knows where it's going. And it's, like, that's amazing. It, like, you don't question it. Like, it makes you not question the fact that he can fight despite being blind, which is amazing.
Yeah. Excellent point. All right. So I feel like that's kind of it for our non-spoiler section. Kyle or Jimmy, was there anything else you want to talk about before we say goodbye and spoil everyone? Just kidding.
I also think Daredevil's really cute. Just saying.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the shirtless scenes were most welcome.
Oh, yeah. I had to say that before I left.
I was wondering if my enjoyment of this was in part due to the fact that I just really don't like Ben Affleck, and turns out I really like Charlie Cox with an American accent. Who knew?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, and also to jump into, like, a different subject, but still on Daredevil, female characters that are actually interesting and have many dimensions and layers and are useful.
Yeah.
Like, who would have guessed? Like, it's so... I mean, that's kind of the page that they took out of the one thing that Gotham did right with Jada Pinkett Smith as Fish Mooney. Just like, let's make a character that's not really from the comics that are just excellent characters all around, and they really hit it out of the park with most of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think personally for me, like, I think all of the characters, and I won't say this about many things, but I think all of the characters are more interesting in Daredevil than they are in the Daredevil comics, including Daredevil, who I enjoyed a lot more on screen than on the page for many reasons, not least the face of the guy playing him. But, yeah, I totally agree. I think we'll come back to talking more about this, I'm sure, in the coming weeks as we maybe do a bit of a slower rewatch now that I've raced through it all. But yeah, the female characters in particular definitely stand out, and I'm sure Donya agrees.
Yes. Yes, they definitely do.
Okay, and before we get to our spoiler section, if you are maybe just starting out in Daredevil, you're a few episodes in like Jimmy is, or maybe even about halfway like Kyle is, and you're wondering, hey, where are all of your regular segments this week? Don't worry, we've got you covered, Daredevil style. You actually can find a written version of our A Brief History segment all about Daredevil on Hyperbole.com. And, Jonya, you wrote this one. You teamed up with Michal, right, to write this one?
Yes. So Michal posed me a load of Daredevil questions and basically asked me to answer them. It was almost like an interview, which was very... very fun, very interesting, and I really, really enjoyed doing it. So, yeah, we did a similar thing with Daisy when that was starting to come up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it was really, really good fun to, like, revisit that format again. So, yeah, I covered quite a lot about the basics of Daredevil and some of the characters. So
excellent.
Go check it out.
Even if you maybe have finished the whole series, you probably still want to have a look at that. It will give you a nice grounding on the comic background. So yeah, you can find that on Hyperbole. Again, we will link to that in the show notes. And for Comic Corner, stay tuned. You will find out about that after our spoiler section. All right, so that's it. Thank you very much to Kyle and Jimmy for joining us for this special Daredevil-ish section, and for all of our news. I hope you guys enjoyed being the first guys on the new Hero Hype. That's an honor you'll have to share.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Anytime.
No better person to share it with than Jimmy Bean.
Oh, good. I'm sorry.
No better person to share it with than Kyle Tariq.
Yeah. I'm sorry to force the sharing on you, but... you know, at least you're playing nice. All right, and for everyone else, if you stay tuned, we are going to be doing a spoiler section, but this is where you should tune out if you have not watched all 13 episodes of Daredevil. Because
I'm going to run away with my hands over my ears. Love you guys.
Yes, okay. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so we'll do some spoilers.
Yeah, let's do some spoilers.
Let's do some spoilers. Before we get to that, we had a couple messages from you guys on Twitter. I was actually wondering, I mean, we didn't talk about this, but man, the Daredevil credits are seriously beautiful. And they reminded me a lot of the Hannibal credits. And I was like, someone needs to tell me, are they done by the same person? Because I was finding it really distracting. And turns out they're done by different people. Daredevil is done by Elastic, and Hannibal's done by Momoko. Momoko? Who knows?
Momoko. They are based in London.
Well, there you go. So I'm sure you know them personally because there's only about 5 people who live there.
I've actually gone for a job with them a couple of times. So, yeah.
Funny. Yeah. So yes, if you're wondering that, there is your answer. And also, Chanel said, up late watching Daredevil 2. Can't wait to hear your take on it on Hear Hype Podcast. So hopefully you've been listening to all of our opinions and our bonus opinions from Jimmy and Kyle. But a reminder, stop listening now if you have not watched all of Daredevil, because we will not be holding back from here to the end of the show. So that's it. That's the last warning. I can't help you now.
Yeah.
If you haven't stopped by now, you're on your own.
Feel like we should have like a klaxon sounding spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it about 18 times at this point, yeah. So you know, take a hint, guys. Seriously,
yeah, here there be spoilers.
Wow, that was terrible. Never do that again. I'm gonna cut that and use it as our spoiler warning from now on. I think people appreciate it. No, I'm definitely gonna do it. Okay, so tell us, Danya. What are your problems with Daredevil now that you can speak freely? So safe space.
Okay, so my initial problems with it were, funnily enough, the female characters. I was not a big fan of them introducing and using them a lot, especially both Karen and Claire, as damsels in distress so much. I wasn't too into the fact that they really started pushing with the helpless female being used against the main character thing. I thought, you know, they could have subverted that a lot better. However, I will now say that by the time we get to the end of the series, especially when Karen is abducted by Wesley towards the end of the season, when, you know, essentially at that point, both Matt and Foggy are at what is their lowest point in the series. You know, they're at odds, they're not sure what they're doing, they're a little bit lost, and Karen is kind of pushing through as being, out of the trio, the strongest of them, and being like, get your heads out of your ass. Like, you know, you're being idiots. And she's abducted, and like, Wesley severely underestimates her, but I really liked how that was turned on its head and she saved herself. Like, I like how that kind of came around full circle from the start of the season where she needed Foggy and Matt to help her versus the end of the season where she helped herself. I thought that was really, now that I've seen the end of the season, that was a really interesting arc, but it did kind of put me on the back foot a little bit at the start, as well as mostly introducing Claire as, you know, a character that's quite strong, quite interesting, quite in control of her life, but then using her as like as a way to get to Matt. Like, I wasn't too into that.
See, I don't know if I agree with that. I really didn't. You know, they had their moments, but in general, I really didn't see either of the characters as being presented as damsels in distress. Karen obviously has her moment when, you know, Foggy saves her with his baseball bat that he just happens to be carrying, and you know, there are a couple moments with her, but in general, like, she is shown to be a intelligent, resourceful. You know, she feels very strongly about this, and so she pursues it on her own, even though neither of the boys seem like particularly interested in it. She contacts Ben, you know, she's very proactive about it, and she's not, I mean, you know, maybe to some extent as a flaw, she's not super concerned by like her personal safety or how that like would affect her. But I found that really good. And you know what, I'm sure there are a lot of people who thought that she was really annoying for all of those reasons that I just listed, but I really appreciated all of those elements in her, and I honestly don't think that like the couple moments where she was a quote-unquote damsel in distress even really were like a blip on my radar of watching the show, maybe because I watched it all together, so I was watching this like long kind of singular character arc, you know, and everything was sort of like ebbs and flows in that, as it were. But no, I thought Karen was great.
Yeah, no, I'm not discrediting the characters themselves and what they kind of achieve through the series. I just would have liked to as well have learnt more about them, because we got a lot of, like, we got Fisk's backstory, we got Matt's backstory, and we got a bit of Foggy's backstory intertwined with some of Matt's. But we didn't really learn a lot more about how Karen came to be in Hell's Kitchen. We found out she hadn't been there long when she had her chat with Wesley, but we don't know how, like, what brought her to Hell's Kitchen, why she's there, where she came from, why she doesn't appear to have any family or friends.
Yeah.
Outside of those guys. And the other thing is, again, Claire had, you know, we didn't get a lot about, like, how she came to be who she was, why she was, like, working in that way. You know, she had a very, very specific amount of knowledge that wouldn't necessarily be the knowledge you would have as a nurse, but she seemed to know a lot more about human anatomy and how to treat things versus, like, the way that maybe a surgeon would know how to do. Because I was watching some of the episodes while I was moving house, and my mum was helping me move, so she's a nurse. And, like, specifically in the episode where she's on the roof with Matt, when they have that guy strung up, and she's, like, guiding him to, like, where to like, poke through in his head, which, that scene was, like, incredibly gruesome. But my mum was like, I wouldn't have known that. She was like, there's no way that she'd ever have needed to know that as a nurse. She was like, that's very specific for her to know. How does she know that? And I'm like, going, I don't know, Mom. I wanted to know more about how Claire got to be where she was as well, which was, you know, that's a bit that, like, kind of disappointed me, that I just wanted more backstory for the women as well as what we got for the guys.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I think in terms of Karen, it was a very obviously a very conscious choice for them to withhold that, because they're setting up her mysterious past. Like, they were doing that very obviously throughout the series, by referencing, you know, this thing that she knew that she'd done, and then Ben knew, and, you know, the things in her past, and et cetera, et cetera. There was obviously more to her than meets the eye. In terms of Claire, I do agree. Like, she kind of came in and out when it was convenient. What we saw of her, I loved. I would definitely have loved to see more of her outside of, like, a possible romance between her and Matt. Not that, you know, I obviously the series probably needed something like that, and I can understand why in a 13 episode series they really place the emphasis on the backstory of the hero in Matt and the villain in the Kingpin. And, you know, we got a little bit of Foggy within that, but really that was for Matt's sake, you know, that was to show more of his past, and it just happened that Foggy was around. So I do understand that, but yeah, it certainly wouldn't have hurt the series, I don't think, to have a little more of that. Like we talked about a little earlier, though, Claire seems to be sort of this amalgamation of the character of Claire Temple, who in the comics has a romance with Luke Cage, who of course is going to be having his own Netflix show, and also the character of the night nurse. So I think Claire Temple, as, like, the character, is a doctor, though. So maybe that's where that's going.
Maybe. I mean, I think it would be really interesting if, for example, she was maybe initially a surgeon at a different hospital, and maybe she's ended up as a nurse for personal reasons or something that's happened or that sort of thing. Otherwise, I have a slight worry that they decided to give her a more female-coded role rather than making her specifically a doctor.
Yeah, in the promo material for this, they definitely said, I can't remember who it was, they were definitely talking about Claire in the terms of she's a nurse who works at night, and then everyone was like, oh, she's the night nurse character. So it seems like, at least from that, she was meant to be a nurse, certainly, whether or not that's what she worked as previously or not. Honestly, like, I hadn't really thought about the level of medical knowledge that she had, and I'm wondering if people who are, like, not super familiar, like you are, because of your mum, would have even picked up on it. So yeah. It may have even just been, like, for convenience sake that they needed her to be able to do certain things. Yeah, like, as you said, there's no real reason why she couldn't have been a doctor. I mean, you know, don't have to be a surgeon, but there's no reason why she couldn't have been a doctor versus a nurse if that's really the only role that she was playing. So we will see. I'm sure that we're going to see more of Claire in the upcoming series. She looks like probably one of the prime crossover characters. And yes. I thought Rosario Dawson did a really fantastic job with her. So, that's great. Also, obviously, great to have women of color. So,
yes,
happy to see her in all shows.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing that I was really into was the continuing theme of her being like the kind of continuing theme across like Felicity walking out on Oliver, kind of being like, "No, you get your shit together," and then maybe. But again, with her, with Matt being like, "Now this isn't happening. If you absolutely need me, I'll come and help you. But otherwise,
Yeah.
No, not happening."
Yeah.
And walking out the door, and I was like, you know what? I like this theme of women being able to take control of their lives and being like, no, this is a situation that I don't want myself to be in. You are a person that is not going to give me the life that and security that I want and I need. You are a almost like a toxic aspect of my life that I don't need in it. And being able to just be like, you know what, I have no obligation to you. I can walk out that door. But, you know, if like, for example, if you've been stabbed multiple times by a crazy ninja, I'll come and stitch you up. But, you know, other than that.
Yeah, this is what I feel about the women in Daredevil. I feel like when we got them, they were done very well. And I would have liked to have more of them. But at no point was I watching it cringing the way I often do when I'm watching, I don't know, The Flash or Arrow and their treatment of women. Or even Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at times and their treatment of women. Like, I felt at all times like there was more. I suppose I felt like they did a good job of proving that there was kind of more going on and we just weren't seeing it. And I would have liked to have seen it. And I hope that we will see it, you know, inevitably when Daredevil has season 2 and in the future Marvel shows as they continue, because the next one obviously is aka Jessica Jones, so
yes,
we're gonna have ladies there for sure.
Yeah,
and oh my god, I'm so excited for that now.
Yeah, me too.
And the cast, Kristen Ritter, David Tennant, oh my goodness. And now that you know,
it's gonna be really good.
Now you know the like level of quality that we can expect from these shows. Not that I was doubting it before, but they really knocked this one out of the park. I can't say enough good things about Daredevil in general. And I think a lot of that also, you know, we talked a little bit about him before, but Vincent D'Onofrio should get a lot of credit for that because, his Kingpin was insane and so just nuts. He really builds it throughout throughout the episodes.
Now, he was completely nuts, but did you find yourself in the place where you were really quite torn? Because his relationship with Vanessa was so understated and so kind of, like, gentle and kind of gradually building that I found myself, like, torn with wanting him to have that. Versus wanting him to get his comeuppance.
Are you crazy?
Like, I was like there going, I was sitting there going, why am I so invested in this? I don't understand why I care so much. Yeah.
Yeah, you are crazy. No, I think the relationship with Vanessa is, for me, what makes him so creepy. We first see it, you know, when they go on their date, and then, and then afterwards, his concern is not really anything to do with his like job, as it were. It's the fact that he feels like he was embarrassed in front of her. And the mania that that inspires in him is just absolutely terrifying. And that really just continues on and on. And, you know, you see her, like, slowly getting sucked into this world of his and and enjoying it to some degree. Like,
That's what I mean.
She's not, like, she's not a helpless, like, victim of it. You know, she's a participant. She's continuing. And by the end of it, you feel like they're sort of equals in it. You know, they do a great job of building that, even though we don't see a lot of her and seeing her initial hesitation at what she's getting into. But no way, the entire time I was like, oh, I hate him, he's so creepy. Like, oh, he's, you know, I think the combination of, like, the bulk of the actor, you know, that what they went for with that character, he is genuinely intimidating. And then, as you said, he does this very softly spoken kind of thing. And when we first meet him and all of that mixed with, like, you just feel the rage, like, simmering under his skin at all times. And, like, that's more terrifying.
Yeah, I'm not discrediting the fact that he was terrifying. I just found myself, despite being, like, scared of him as a character, like, ridiculously invested in the dynamic and the relationship between them. Like, I don't know where it came from. And I was talking with a couple of other people who were, like, the same. They're like, they're going, I'm a little bit scared at how much I'm, like, really, really invested in this relationship between these two characters. And I think
did it come
that's
from,
also,
like, the insight into his childhood, maybe? Like, did you find yourself more invested after that episode where we got a little explanation for why he is the way he is?
I mean, a little bit, but I think it was specifically, like, his interactions with Vanessa and Vanessa's with him and how that started building towards them, almost becoming, like you were saying, like, building towards the end, then being, like, this super villain, like, this villain super couple kind of thing.
Yeah, it was crazy.
I don't know that... Yeah, there was something about that that was just really fascinating that I was very invested in, and I think that's massively a credit to both the actors of each character and also the writing team, because there was definitely something there that got me invested in it. And it may not be the same for everyone, but their relationship and those two characters interacting with each other and the way that they both led up to the finale, like, that was a credit. That was a high point for me. Just Kingpin in general was a highlight of the show for me, despite being utterly crazy and creepy and terrifying. Like, I was still, like, there's this point where I'm like, I understand he's a villain. I understand that I shouldn't like him. However, I'm still invested in his character arc and his flaws and everything. I really, really enjoyed him as a character.
Yeah. So. All right, I feel like we need to wrap this up, but before we do, we couldn't talk about Daredevil without talking about Ben. Did you see that movie? Or was that sad?
I started getting, like, when we got to the point where it was like her care hasn't been extended, and then they went to the like the nursing home to go and see Fisk's mother, and then he got fired. I was like, oh, that's it, he's done for.
Yeah,
I was kind of like, that's it, it's coming. I said I wasn't entirely sure who would off him. I didn't know if it would be Fisk himself or if he would send someone to do the dirty work for him, which, again, another thing that I really, really like for Kingpin, both from, like, a comics perspective and in the TV show, is that he's not afraid to do his own dirty work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he doesn't always kind of push it off onto someone else. But yeah, I kind of eventually saw it coming when I was like, okay, so she's not going to be in care anymore where he wants her, and that's not got extended. He's getting fired. Then they're refusing to run his story. This isn't going to get out, and he's going to be permanently silenced. Like, I was like, they're going, oh, the only way to silence him at this point is to permanently do it.
Yeah, poor Ben. We weren't going to make it all the way through without one major character death, so
Very true.
I'm irrationally, maybe not irrationally, but I'm, you know, vaguely pleased that it wasn't a woman. Because that seems to be the way that it goes.
I mean, I was very upset at the Latino lady from the tenement. Her dying. I was very upset about that. I was like, they're going. I figured that was going to happen from when she was introduced. I was like, oh, she's not.
She won't last.
She won't last. She's going to get tangled up in this. And Foggy and Karen care about her so much that this is going to be heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And they're so invested in her well-being and her story and doing the right thing by her that this isn't going to end well. So.
Yeah.
I was very upset when she was killed.
Yeah, it's it was a sad time. All right, let's wrap this up. I guess what would you like to see if we get more Daredevil? That's a good look ahead. Obviously, Elektra.
Okay. Yeah, Elektra definitely.
We got a little hint of Elektra.
Yeah, I was going to say we got that in the Matt and Foggy flashback.
Yes, we did.
Which was really, really cool. Maybe I'd like to see more of Karen's backstory and the unraveling of that mystery through the next season and pushing her as a bigger focus. I think the three of them together is a very beautiful thing, but I would really, really, really like to see her get some really good FaceTime and some really good like backstory bits coming in. And the other thing I would actually really like to see, which may seem really strange, is obviously we get that massive montage at the end, right at the end of the finale episode, where they're like basically arresting and pulling out all of the people who were involved in taking money from Fisk and all of that. The woman that Foggy was with and who helped expose
the other lawyer, whose name I can't remember.
Other lawyer, the other female lawyer, like, I'd actually like to see her potentially, because she said at the start is she was working on making partner. Like, that was a really, really throwaway line that was there. I would actually like her to see her become a partner in, like, a potential second season of Daredevil and come up against Foggy and the others a bit more. We know that Foggy's kind of, like, sort of embarking on a kind of relationship with her. Maybe, maybe not. Like, it seems very kind of half casual kind of thing. It would be really nice to see a little bit more of her, because I was quite interested in the way she kind of came in through like Foggy and Matt's backstory. Yeah.
Marcy. Yes. Yeah. That's her name. Yeah. She did a great job. Actually. I thought that actress was really good. You know, what was really nice was, I mean, generally this wasn't a cast of like huge stars, and I just felt like it was such a great ensemble. Like, there wasn't anyone in this that I thought, oh, I could have had a better person for that. I just felt like the cast in general was just really great. Yeah, I'm going to agree with all of those things. Definitely Karen, definitely Elektra, which will bring some more much needed ladies to the screen. I think also for me, I would like to see a little more of, kind of going along with, I guess, what you're saying about Foggy's relationship possibly with Marcy is, I mean, I just adore, like, Matt and Foggy's bromance, as it were. I think it's just so fascinating, and it was really great to get that look into it when we got the flashback with them. But I'd like to see a little more of Foggy, I guess, doing his own thing. It seems like up until this point he's kind of followed Matt, and, you know, now Matt is doing something that Foggy really can't follow him into. So that would be interesting for me. To get a little more of a look of, like, Foggy singular outside of Foggy and Matt as a pair.
Yes, definitely. I would actually also like to see more, like, not a lot more, but a couple more courtroom scenes.
Yeah.
Like, it would be really interesting to see.
To see them as lawyers.
Yeah, because, you know, that's still a huge part of them, and it's still a huge part of how Matt gains some form of justice. He gets some of his justice in the courtroom and some of it as a vigilante. Like, that's the whole dual identity thing he's got mixed in with, obviously, his issues of faith and how that plays off. But, you know, it'd be really interesting to see more of, I guess, as well, a little bit more of Hell's Kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And Hell's Kitchen as a neighborhood and what it's like and what the people were like. They started pushing it with introducing the lady from the tenement and you really feeling for her and feeling for her wanting to like fight for her home that she's lived in and that sort of thing. But, you know, both Fisk and Matt wanted to do what they were doing to save Hell's Kitchen. I just don't think we got enough of the personality of Hell's Kitchen and the people living in it to want to know a lot of why they were fighting for it.
Yeah, well, I think by necessity, I would like to see more of that. By necessity, yeah. We'll have to see that next season because they've, yes. like, uprooted the whole area, you know, from, as you said, yeah. in the montage of the end. So they would have to show, like, how that has affected the neighborhood and the people in it. Also, for me, definitely Matt's mother was another mystery that we didn't talk about. That is yeah. very related to the religious, like the priest and all of that. So
yeah.
I would like to see more of that. We got a lot in this, you know, first season about how his father really influenced him in his life. And I would like to see how his mother influences him.
He ended up with essentially three father figures. Mm-hmm. In this season, so it would be really, really nice to see what influence his mother had on him, because obviously we had his actual father, we had Stick, and we have the priest as well.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's which, you know, those were very essential influences on who Matt is right now and very essential for how he actually becomes Daredevil and also like a little bit of the conflict of his faith. Those were really important things to show, like, where his sense of justice came from, where his skills came from, and where his faith leaves him. Like, they were very, very essential for this season. But now that they've established that, absolutely agree. It would be really, really, really interesting to see maybe where his faith came from.
Yeah, the religious aspects of this, I thought, again, were handled incredibly well. Just another way that the show was very balanced. Obviously, you can't do a Daredevil anything without talking about religion. It's an integral part of his character. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like it was handled well. And as you said, there are obviously a lot of things still to investigate and to question there. So I think basically what we're saying is there are so many things we want to know more about. Give us Daredevil season 2 immediately, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would be very surprised if we don't get another season of this. It was, yeah, I haven't seen a single bad review of it since it went online. Of course, it was, it's all available on Netflix last Friday, aka Jessica Jones will be the next one. We don't have a date for that yet, though, I don't believe, but,
yeah,
it'll be later this year. So, exciting things happening in the world of Marvel TV. And you may be wondering about our regular segments. For those of you who are missing Comic Corner, Donya actually published 5 must-read comics for Daredevil newbies over on Hyperball, which we will link in the podcast post here. So if you've watched all of Daredevil and you're thinking, hey, I would really love to check out some of these comics that they keep talking about, Donya's got you covered right there.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. We're done, right?
That's yeah, it. Do we want to?
I think we're Daredeviled out.
We're all Daredeviled out. Yes,
Daredeviled
definitely.
Out. I think that's a good verb. Like,
yeah.
He's been Daredeviled. What does that mean, though? Like, murdered violently? I'm not sure if that's a good thing.
I don't know.
Be Daredeviled. can we stop this episode, our Daredevil episode, without talking about how great the suit was?
Yes, it was a very, very interesting take and updated version of the. It was enough of the original Daredevil costume and enough of an update to make it just feel fresh and like it fits in with the other costumes we've seen across the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like it was spot on. maybe slightly more black than I was expecting in it. Like, it felt, you know, ever so slightly Deadpool-ish.
I mean, are we just looking for Deadpool because we want to see him, perhaps?
I don't know. It just, I'm not discrediting it. I still think it was a really, really good suit. So.
Yeah, it was very enjoyable. Although maybe not as enjoyable as the scenes where he was not wearing any clothes. Just putting that out there. I'm a big fan of Charlie Cox now. Right, so that's it for our Daredevil show. We hope you guys enjoyed it. Like we said earlier on, we're going to be trying to do some more of these kind of themed shows, and in the future they'll probably be without the news, but it's been a couple weeks since you got a Hero Hype episode, so we wanted to make sure there was something for everyone. So if we do more of these, like, for, I don't know, a big movie that's coming out in, oh, I don't know, about a week, you could expect that to be basically all one giant review. And, you know, we would be open to doing them of films and TV shows and things that have already come out, like a, like Donya did with our Hero Hyper Rewatch, but an episode. And then these would be in addition to your regularly scheduled Hero Hype. So don't worry, you're not going to miss out. And that way you can just tune into the ones that you're interested in. So we're really excited about this. We hope that you guys are too. And make sure to let us know in response to our question of the week in the comments of this post on hyperbull.com or on Twitter at Hero Hype Podcast, what films or what TV shows you would like to hear a special edition, special themed, special Hero Hype all about. It's very special. Woo. Very special. And so we'll be back in about a week with our regular episodes. We'll be back on track with that. We just wanted to make sure that we could talk all about Daredevil and get some fun people on, which is why this episode was a little bit delayed, but don't worry. We'll be back on track with our schedule, and you can hear us then with all of the latest film and TV news. And of course, I will totally have seen Age of Ultron by then. So I think Danya has as well.
Yeah, I will have seen Age of Ultron by then too.
Yeah,
also,
I won't be able to
for
it in.
Or the alternate title for it, Age of Hawkeye.
All right, okay, settle down over there. I'm going to spend between when I see it and when Danya sees it, just like telling her outrageous lies about Hawkeye's presence in the film, and seeing how many she believes. Yeah, let's see how many she believes. Or I'll just make some things up, and then she won't know which ones are real or not. And you'll be totally distracted watching it. I think that's a fun game. You guys should try it. Just tweet us your most outrageous, what you think Hawkeye will be up to in Age of Ultron. The most outrageous.
Please.
Will win.
Please entertain me.
Yeah.
Please do it.
You'll win a
do
prize
it.
That doesn't exist, but you'll win Dunya's admiration. So is there a prize more valuable than that? I don't think so.
Hey, well, let's say this, actually. I'm going to the IMAX showing of the premiere, and they always give out posters there. I will pick up some extra ones. If you can find me the best and most outrageous Hawkeye lie that you think is going to happen in Age of Ultron, I will grab you an IMAX poster.
Can I be in this competition?
Yeah, of course you can.
Okay, good. I would like a giant poster of Chris Evans' face to put on my bedroom wall, please.
They haven't actually released what the IMAX posters are going to be yet, but they're usually pretty good.
Yeah. All right, well, so there you go. So you could get an actual real-life prize, but you have to tweet us at Hero Hype Podcast. And if you're not following us, this would be a good time to do that, because you'll find out things like, hey, the episode's going to be a little later this week, and hey, we're doing this fun surprise episode about maybe a large movie that might be coming out at some point that Donya could possibly be seeing in IMAX, but I don't want to spoil it for you guys, so I'm being very vague. You'll find out all that and more on Twitter, and we love to answer your questions and things in between episodes, so just tweet us what you're up to and what you're feeling. And if you are enjoying the show, we would really appreciate if you could leave us a review on iTunes so that other people can find it as well. And just create a big Hero Hype family. But maybe don't do that till you've won your poster. Otherwise, there'll be more competition. Got to think strategically about these things. It's important business. It's very important. All right, so that's it. We hope you liked this show. Let us know what you thought about it. And we'll be back next week. Until then, I'm Marama.
I'm Danya.
And this was Hero Hype. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye. here there be spoilers.